KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
And aloha kakahi aka kawaii. Naleo Hawaiian Issues is coming right up. And Naleo Hawaiian Issues is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kawa Kauai and Tahiti Nui Luawa.
Kawa Kauai is pleased to support Naleo Hawaiian Issues, a family-operated business serving traditional kawa on Kauai for over 15 years. Available at Harvest Market, Healthy Hut, Papayas, and Hoku Whole Foods. More information at 1-800-626-0883 or online at realkawa.com. Kawa, the drink of peace.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And what else but happy Mother's Day. Makua wahine haole to all the parents out there, especially the mothers on Mother's Day. Stay tuned for Naleo Hawaiian Issues.
Yo, kill Duke Kahanamoku's is proud to present the wild, unpredictable Don Ho and the swinging Alees.
Thank you very much, everybody.
When the evening sun goes down, you're gonna find me hanging round. Oh, the nightlife ain't no good life. Ah, but it's my life. Hey, many people just like you and me, dreaming of old used to be. Oh, the nightlife ain't no good life. Ah, but it's my life. Hey, listen to the blues that they're playing. Now, listen what the blues are saying. Life is just another scene from this whole world of broken dreams. Oh, the nightlife ain't no good life. Ah, but it's my
Oh, yeah. Zip, 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 zip. little street in Singapore. We meet beside a lotus covered door. A bell, a moonlight on a lovely face. How pale the hands that held me in embrace.
On a stairs tonight are filled with perfume of Shalimar, with temple bells that guide me to a shore.
And then I hold you in my arms.
I love the way I loved before.
On a little street in Singapore. On a little street in Singapore. On a little street in Singapore.
KKCR's Silent Fund Drive. From now until the start of our spring membership drive on May 12th, we encourage you to participate in our Silent Drive. All Silent Drive contributors will be entered into our early bird drawing for a chance to win a two-night stay at the beautiful Hanalei Bay Resort in Princeville. Our goal is $60,000. Help us get there by making a donation today. Call 808-826-7774 or visit kkcr.org. KKCR. Ke kani o Kauai nei, the sound of Kauai.
The Hawaiian Music Calendar is supported by HawaiianMusicStore.com. Mahalo, HawaiianMusicStore.com, for your support.
Aloha kakahi a kakako. Welcome to our Hawaiian Music Calendar for Saturdays. On the North Shore, the Tiki and Niki Restaurant in Princeville Shopping Center presents CAM from 6 to 8. The Tahiti Nui and Hanalei features Jeff Caldwell from 6:30 to 9. The St. Regis Hotel in Princeville features Keili'i Kanialii from 6:30 to 9:30. On the South Shore, Leilani Rivera Lo and Halau Hula O Leilani are at the Grand Hyatt in Po'epu from 6 to 9. Keoki's Paradise in the Po'epu Shopping Center presents Moku and Lenny at 6:30. Merriman's Fish House at the Kukui'ula Shopping Center in Po'epu features Kirby Keo at the front mall entrance facing the lanai. He's on the lanai there from 6 to 8. On the east side, there's a free hula show featuring Leilani Rivera Lo and Halau Hula O Leilani at the Coconut Marketplace Shopping Center at 1 p.m. The Hukilau Lanai at the Kauai Coast Resort in Waipoli presents Billy Paul from 6 to 9. Shutter's Lounge at the Kauai Beach Resort presents Jonah Cummings from 7 to 10. The Eastside Cafe in Okapa Atau presents Hawaiian music from 7 to 9. The Courtyard Kauai Marriott Resort at Waipoli features John Planus from 6:30 to 8:30. And Larry Rivera is featured at the Kauai Museum in Lihue from 1 to 2 with talk, story, and music. On our west side, the Wrangler Steakhouse in Waimea presents Nick Castillo from 6 to 8. If you have Hawaiian music events you'd like posted on our Hawaiian Music Calendar, please fax it at least 1 week before the event to 826-7977 or email it to events@kkcr.org. Attention, Linda. Mahalo nui loa. Have a great Hawaiian day.
And you're listening to KCR, Honolulu KQA Kilauea, and K24AL in Haleiwa on Oahu. And this is now kind of running the board. Prayers and aloha to cousin who's in Florida. Her brother passed away, so our thoughts and prayers are with you, cuz. So take care of the ohana over there, all the Hawaiians on that site. And for all the Mother's Day, we did play some music for you guys. And my mother is buried up at the old Ko'olau School, the graveyard, up there with all the other ohana up there. So I'm going to go visit today and take you up there. with my family, and to all the families who are celebrating their mothers, who are still here with them, and those giving fond remembrances for those who have passed. And like mine, passed off knowledge to us, and that's why Hawaiians are still fighting for our freedom. And talking to people, just a thought. If you have any thoughts yourself or have any issues you want to bring up, give us a call at 826-7771. Just want to put this out. I'm going to play some informational videos. And the one was that thing Anonymous, which I think that's the guy that wears the mask like V, the white mask, and kind of like, yeah, it looks like it's conspiracy theory kind of thing. But on other subjects too, the facts seem to... be the truth. So I want to play that one again. It's about 10 minutes. And then we'll go through the debate again, featuring some of the top debaters. It was about a couple, several months ago, but I think it's important. I've been trying to find the debate between recently between Ben Cayetano, that was on PBS, versus John Wahee. John Wahee supporting sovereignty, but again, he's supporting Niall Puni process, which is keeps us under the thumb of the United States. And then Ben Cayetano, who's totally against it. And I don't know who these people are talking about or who they're talking to or listening to. But as I told you before, as you listen to the DOI meetings, if you haven't heard yet, or if you're a Malahini that's visiting here and like, where are the Hawaiians, or what are they doing, or why is this guy angry and everything, then you're going to find out. Department of Interior came down last year and asked the Hawaiians if we wanted to be part of the DOI, part of a program that's something like the Indians, and all this hoopla, big turnout. We all said no, and they said we said yes. So they're proceeding with this procedure, and part of that procedure is the Niall Puni puppets that are on the side, which include former Governor John Wahee. So the debate there at least was he was supporting sovereignty, but his kind of sovereignty, which is kind of like we're still puppets of the United States, you know, you don't have control of nothing. And the cases for that can be shown in recently where the Apache, sacred lands of the Apaches were taken by the federal government. Because they're recognized and under this program, they don't have final say. The feds still have final say. Okay? So that's how this works. That's what Niall Puni is trying to push on you. And they're trying to push you, which we all mostly all know, but the propaganda out there, I've talked to some people and they still don't understand, but the majority of us do. I understand it with the DOI. But the propaganda being pushed there is this Niall Puni thing, because they have the money. They're getting the money for it, and they have all the money to produce commercials and send out leaflets and all that stuff. So you have to be akamai on this, which most of the Hawaiians are on top of this, knowing that the people who are involved with Niall Puni are basically I can't think of anything else. It's like those French who collaborated with the Nazis and others in their countries who collaborated with foreigners like the Germans and Nazis against their own people. That's an analogy I would use. If you don't like it, well, that's what it is. You have a foreign government who came into Hawaii, and now there are these so-called Hawaiians that are supporting that. Yeah. You should take us over and we should not have our country back. And it just blows my mind, like many other Hawaiians, like, wow, who are these people? And they call themselves Hawaiians. Our people protested back then. We're protesting still. Hawaiians have the right to be free and independent. We were before. We told you we never wanted to be a part of the United States. You rejected the Kauai petition. We told you last year you rejected that. We call that deaf ear. Okay? But look, we're stuck with it, right? For example, I was talking to some friends last night. Do you think it's fair? Yeah, we pay taxes, right? But especially for Hawaiian lands that were given by the Kingdom of Hawaii, that people say don't exist, but that's where the lands came from. Okay? You can talk all you want and all this bubble stuff. The lands came from the Kingdom of Hawaii. Now, you owe the county a lot of tax because they're, you know, they oh, the billionaire built a house over there, so now your land increases, even though your land is vacant and doesn't do anything. You haven't developed it. It's just there. You go, you picnic, you clean up. It's just there. But because some guy builds his house and he has lots of money, he builds his house, your empty lot, unimproved, undeveloped lot, goes sky high. Is that fair? Most of the people I talked to said no. But that's the system we live in. And they get to enforce that. So then, when it builds so much up that you can't afford it, which is the story of many Hawaiian families. So if you're wondering, how come Hawaiians don't have their land? Go ask the tax office in the county and the state. That's why we've been taxed off our lands. So they take that tax. Let's say you owe 10 grand. Your land is worth 160,000. Guy from Colorado comes in, pays that tax of 10 grand because the local family can't. And now he got the whole property for 10 grand. What a deal! Wow. And how we know that? Because it's happened in Moloa to our property. Because no local's going to afford that. That's why, as far as I know, besides my one cousin and uncle, all the family's been wiped out in Moloa. Waipake, wiped out except for me. I know the Kaha'as were there, but Falco Partners forced them to sell. What a wonderful law system, yeah? Hawaiians, you have to force you to sell your land, and then everybody wants, how come you don't have your land? Because you don't see that in the paper. The only ones talking about it are us, Hawaiians, Naleo Issues, other Hawaiians, other Hawaiian groups. You don't see it on KHON TV, KITV. You don't see too much about that, right? They don't want you to hear that we're suffering in our own homeland. You get to buy our land for 10 grand. That's worth 160. Don't you think it'd be more fair that at least if we were back on the tax, then sell the land at least at market value? You get your taxes and we get the least of value. But you get to take the whole thing for 10 grand? What a deal. What a deal. Now you know why. Not only my family, but a lot of Hawaiian families, they don't have their lands. Can't afford the tax. The rich guys come and they buy them. The foreigners have gotten deals in Hawaii, and Hawaiians, we've gotten screwed by this system. And we know it, and that's why we fight for our nation. Because under our nation, we did better. We weren't on the bottom of all the lists. Okay, under the nation, the Haoles from Kilauea Plantation came to my family to ask to use the land. And that's how I think it should be. Just like I believe Japanese should run Japan, Chinese should run China, Americans can run their country, and Hawaiians should be left alone to manage our country, and the United States should not have overthrown us, should not have annexed us against our wishes. And that's not just a madman or some guy saying, oh, you know, he's just going off. No, it's facts. Kuwait petition. Look it up. Back up the facts. Back up your words with facts. I got them. Okay? Our people said no. And the United States said, forget you. And we Hawaiian people, and you can see us all talking on YouTube, the DOI meetings, we are telling everybody, we're not going to take it anymore. I feel like network that movie. We're not going to take it anymore. But we're not slapping people on the hands. We're not strapping bombs to ourselves and taking out the women and children. We're going to fight with Manao and educate everybody, because when everyone is educated, like our friends on the mainland, our Haole friends, our Japanese, when they understand what actually is going on, you have the human factor in it, and it's not an American thing, or it's the right thing to do to support Hawaiians and their fight for freedom in Hawaii. So, with that said, yes, I am pro-Hawaiian. Yes, I am pro-nation of Hawaii. And yes, I am pro-my people. Kapoe. Kanaka maole. Oof. before I go to that, I just want to say it. When I was coming, the reason why I know many of us Hawaiians, not only me, we're passionate about our lands, we're passionate about our people, we're passionate about our kingdom, our nation. And I am determined, and I know many other Hawaiians are, we're not going to be swept from the face of this earth like we never existed and we don't matter. We can wipe out our kulianas and take them off maps where you won't even know where they are. Can tell us we cannot use the ala loas where our families have gone for generations before even America even knew what we were or where we were. We are not going to allow the United States to erase our memory and erase our nation from the face of the earth. And I stand proudly with all those Hawaiians.
Hello, citizens of Hawaii and the United States. This is a formal warning. Why is it that so many Hawaiians do not want federal recognition or to use the process called Na'apuni? Na'apuni is happening because the U.S. wants to extinguish Hawaiian rights to the crown and government lands of the Hawaiian kingdom, about 40% of the archipelago. These are Hawaiian national lands, referred to as ceded lands. But to create the appearance of a legal transfer of title, the state and federal governments need Na'apuni, Hawaiian acquiescence to the U.S. takeover. Na'apuni was invented and funded by the state in conjunction with the Department of Interior, DOI, which acts on directives from President Obama. The list of Hawaiians who can vote was derived from Kana'ialovalu, which was the result of Act 195. A mandate to create the Hawaiian role. $4 million from the Office of Hawaiian Affairs, OHA, was spent in an effort to secure 200,000 Hawaiian names, but only 19,000 signed on. So, another state law, Act 77, was passed to disguise that abysmal failure, giving permission to Kana'ialovalu commissioners to loot other state registries. Lists of Hawaiian people who were trying to get scholarships and loans or signed other forms of enrollment separate from Kana'ialovalu were counted, ballooning the number to 125,000. It took a court order to make the list public, which was good because it includes people who have passed away. 24% of the names were removed for various reasons, whittling Kana'ialovalu's list down to 95,000. That means that 80% of the people on this new, state-manufactured list of voters did not consent. $2.5 million so far has been spent on this fake election, but we're supposed to believe Na'apuni is a grassroots movement for Hawaiian self-determination. Although it's funded by the state, when the legality of Na'apuni was challenged recently in a federal court, the judge held that it's a private election. But why push this now, after failed attempts during the past 15 years to pass Na'apuni's predecessor, the Akaka Bill? Simply put, President Obama wants to invoke executive order privileges to recognize a group of Hawaiians who will sell their national lands. And he's in a hurry because of pending legislation intended to cut the DOI out of the federal recognition process. But more concerning is what preceded this rush to contain the Hawaiian sovereignty movement. About a year and a half ago, Kamana'opono Crabb, the CEO of OHA, sent a letter to Secretary of State John Kerry requesting proof of jurisdiction. Although Crabb later rescinded the letter, after blowback from inside OHA, the gauntlet had been thrown. It was a direct challenge to the U.S. occupation by a respected Hawaiian leader who works for the state. All the U.S. has to do is produce a treaty of annexation proving the Hawaiian kingdom, a nation state, was legally annexed as opposed to illegally occupied. Rather than show proof of ownership over what we Hawaiians say is our stolen country, the Obama administration chose to hold public hearings about federal recognition. During late June and early July 2014, a series of hearings took place on the major islands, About 99% of those who testified told the DOIA that Hawaii is not part of the United States, and Hawaiians are not Native American. Just over a year after those powerful hearings, and a few months after thousands of Hawaiians rallied in defense of Mauna Kea, all of which sparked a tremendous resurgence of Hawaiian political agency, where is our resistance? If Niapuni manages to maintain even the appearance of legitimacy, President Obama will federalize us. Hawaiians being bamboozled or unable to grasp the deception at hand is one thing. To be complicit, indifferent, or complacent as Hawaiian nationality is about to be lobotomized is like us colonizing ourselves. Article written by M. K. Ala Kelly and is the award-winning filmmaker of Noho Hetva, The Wrongful Occupation of Hawaii, and journalist whose work has appeared in The Nation and India Country Today, and on the Pacifica Network and Al Jazeera. She is currently working on a film about the struggle to protect Mauna Kea entitled Why the Mountain. Now just to show how corrupt all of this is, back in 2010, former U.S. Congressman Neil Abercrombie, prior to becoming governor of Hawaii, mockingly and disgustingly tells how he really feels about the Hawaiians and what it is all about, and shockingly listen to the disdain the U.S. Congress has for the Hawaiians.
Well, you know, we've talked a lot here on Free Hawaii TV about the illegal U.S. occupation of Hawaii. We've told you how Hawaii, being the 50th state, is a big, fat fake. Yet the U.S. talks as if it's all very real, something they didn't steal. Well, every now and then, someone from the U.S. slips up and speaks the truth and admits what it's really all about. Former U.S. Congressman Neil Abercrombie did just that in June of last year while testifying before the U.S. House of Representatives Committee on Resources. In the video you're about to see, he admits why Hawaii was taken over by the U.S., that it's not according to the U.S. Constitution at all, why the U.S. and its agent, the fake state of Hawaii, want to get their hands on the ceded or stolen lands, and most alarmingly, how he and the U.S. really view Native Hawaiians and the plans to take their lands. So here now is former U.S. Congressman Neil Abercrombie testifying what the takeover of Hawaii was really all about.
Just to let you know, this is the film that they're about to play is the U.S. Senate House of Representative meetings on the Cockleville. June 11th, 2009. Neil Abercrombie.
What we're dealing with here, in practical terms, is 1.8 million acres in ceded land, the former Crown lands, over which the state of Hawaii now has trust. Responsibility, and about 200,000 acres of Hawaiian homelands, which Mr. Kane directly administers on behalf of the people of the state today. And the reason that you get these questions now, in all honesty, Doc and everybody else, is that when the 1.8 million acres were seen as essentially worthless, which is the reason that these particular lands, because you could have said at the time that the entire state was Crown lands because it was a kingdom. When we put Western ideas of property and ownership into the equation, well, then it became somebody's land. They owned it. And so the 1.8 million acres essentially were seen as something that the merchant bankers didn't need. So the 1.8 million acres wasn't seen as worth anything. The 200,000 acres that Mr. Kane administers right now, again, were seen as, well, we'll just give that to the Hawaiians. Nobody wants it. There's no water. There's no infrastructure. There's no anything. It's not useful to anybody who wants to make money out of it. So we'll give that to the Native Hawaiians. Now, come to 2010. How would you like to have, Doc, 1.8 million acres of land in Hawaii today? How would you like to have 200,000 acres in additional land reserved for Hawaiians by congressional act? when we come down to it, when we come down to it, when you get right down to the nitty-gritties of all of this, this has nothing to do with the Constitution. This has nothing to do with race. This has to do with assets, land and money. And when that 1.8 million acres wasn't yielding any money, when that 200,000 acres was out there and it didn't have any value to them, let me tell you, now you got 2 million acres of land in Hawaii, you got hundreds of millions of dollars in funds that are under the care of the Office of Hawaiian Affairs right now, which will go to this new entity, and you've got an income stream in the tens of millions of dollars coming from the lease arrangements on either the ceded lands or the Hawaiian homelands, so that you can build houses, you can put infrastructure in. Now, everybody's interested that they're not discriminated against. And what they mean is how can they get in on owning, controlling, maneuvering, and manipulating that 2 million acres of land, the hundreds of millions of dollars, and the tens of millions of dollars of income stream. I rest my case.
And those are the congressmen. Yeah, the U.S. congressmen's laughing. And as you said it right, it's all money. It's assets. And they want to control our lands. And how do they take it from us? Well, they increase our taxes so Hawaiians can't afford it. Then they take our lands for dirt cheap. This has not been a wonderful system for Hawaiians. We did better under our own nation.
As you can see from Neil Abercrombie's performance, they are just trying to further steal the land and assets of the Kanaka Maole people with the help of the DOI and OIJ departments. It is time to step up and help right or wrong. Please go to www.godahinalahui.com and submit a testimony. It takes less than a minute to fill out, and feel free to share this and help out. Thank you.
That was by Anonymous. And again, you can say what you want, but dispute the facts. You can't. What he said was true. It's factual. Do your homework. Our kupuna, our mothers, our families. That's why over 100 years, Hawaiians are not going to give up. We still have it in our blood, in our hearts. We are a free people. And our nation must live. You're listening to KKCR Honolulu, KQA Kilauea. This is Naleo Hawaiian Issues, the voices, the concerns of the Hawaiian people. Give us a call, 826-7771. We're going to give information out. We're going to play a debate with, not a debate, information on the Hawaiian sovereignty discussed by Kili'iakina, PhD, in Leon soon, right after we do this break. Naleo Hawaiian Issues is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kamo'o Kalele and Kauai Community College, KCC, Center of Learning.
Kamo'o Ukulele Company, dedicated to building high-quality bell-tone instruments, built with a one-player-at-a-time philosophy, from student models up to custom masterpieces. Kamo'o Ukulele Company, a family-owned business, supports KKCR, 652-9999, or online at kamoaukulelecompany.com.
The Hawaiian Studies Program at Kauai Community College, offering courses and experiences in Hawaiian language and culture for the children and friends of Hawaii. 245-8202.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. You know, I'm going to go back to, I was going to play the thing with Kili'iakina and Leon Tzu, but that was a little bit older than I thought. So I'm going to go back to something that's a little bit more up to date. And this was on PBS. We played it before, but I thought it brings up the division. We know the majority of the Hawaiian people, as presented by their testimony on the DOI testimonies, that we want no part of the DOI process. We want the State Department here, and we're talking about reestablishing and letting our nation live once again. And you have Hawaiians that are not for that, that want us to be under the Niaupuni process and all that that encumbers. And this is a debate on PBS. Insights on PBS Hawaii, what would it take to achieve Hawaiian sovereignty?
On Insights on PBS Hawaii, what would it take to achieve Hawaiian sovereignty?
That's what I said.
Aloha, and welcome to Insights on PBS Hawaii. I'm Daryl Huff from Hawaii News Now. It's been 22 years since President Bill Clinton signed a bill apologizing for the overthrow of the Hawaiian monarchy. Many sovereignty proponents hoped the apology bill would lead to formal recognition of a native Hawaiian governing entity. But there are still competing visions of what that government could look like and hurdles to clear even after Native Hawaiians reach consensus. Could a renewed push for Native Hawaiian Constitutional Convention galvanize the community and pave the way for self-determination? Tonight on Insights, what would it take to achieve Hawaiian sovereignty? We encourage viewers to join tonight's conversation by calling 973-1000 if you live on Oahu, or 800-238-4847 if you're calling from a neighbor island. You can also watch Insights streamed live at pbshawaii.org. Just click on the Insights logo. Or you can find us on Twitter at PBS Hawaii. Now to our panel. Peter Apo is trustee with the Office of Hawaiian Affairs. He previously served 12 years in the State House of Representatives and was also former Governor Ben Kaitano's special assistant on Hawaiian Affairs. Lili Kala Kamaelehiva is the director of the Kamakakuo Kalani Center for Hawaiian Studies at the University of Hawaii, Manoa. Dr. Kamaelehiva is a trained historian with expertise in Hawaiian cultural traditions and the Hawaiian sovereignty movement. Kalekoa Kaeo is an associate professor of Hawaiian studies at the University of Hawaii Maui College. A well-known sovereignty activist, Mr. Kaeo was recently arrested for protesting construction of the 30-meter telescope on Mauna Kea. And Bumpy Kanahele is the head of state for the nation of Hawaii, which is headquartered at Pu'uhonua o Waimanalo. In 1994, Mr. Kanahele was awarded the lease for the Waimanalo Village after a 15-month occupation at Makapu'u Beach Park. Mr. Kanahele is also the CEO for Aloha First, a nonprofit organization working toward Native Hawaiian reconciliation and restitution. And let me start with Lili Kala Kamaelehiva. What is sovereignty? Let's kind of do a little bit of a sort of sovereignty 101 here. People, you know, don't understand or they have preconceived notions about these words. When we talk about sovereignty, what are we talking about?
A lot of people have different ideas about what that means, but for me it means political control over land. And that's the simplest way to put it. It's not a feeling in your heart. It's political control over land. At the moment, we Hawaiians don't have political control over land, and that's what we're seeking.
Bumpy Kanahele, you ended up with some control over some land. Is it simple a definition as that, or is it more complicated to you?
I think the word is national sovereignty. And that is the identity of the people concerned and the control over the national lands. It's very clear in the United Nations documents and stuff that national sovereignty exists in the Hawaiian people today. Always did.
Is there any, Mr. Kaeo, is there any dispute anymore that the Hawaiian Kingdom was illegally annexed by the United States?
I mean, I would even use it illegally. I think they were never annexed at all. I mean, if you actually look at the facts of our history, it's very clear the United States tried formally in two attempts to annex the Hawaiian Islands, both in 1893 and later in 1897. And because of the organizing of our people with the Kū'e petitions and the Queen's letter of protest, the U.S. Senate failed, again, I repeat, failed to ratify that secondary treaty. So when you start illegal, see, that makes the idea that it was an actual annexation. Now, my challenge would be to anyone out there, show me any evidence of fact of having any annexation.
So in your mind, what does sovereignty mean now?
Sovereignty to me means, as in Hawaii we say, ko'oko mana pia, which is having a full authority and control of your lives, your destiny, your land, your resources, your education, and really your future as a people. Sovereignty is something that, in fact, when you talk about sovereignty, I don't believe there's such a thing as a sovereignty movement. I think we need to understand that sovereignty was achieved in 1843 in the Hawaiian Kingdom when we became a recognized nation state. That's a historical fact. What has happened since, of course, 1843, specifically 1893 and 1898, 1900, was the taking away of our right to control our resources and control our lives. But that's really talking in the language of re-recognition or re-control of our sovereignty. That's not the same as saying we're trying to achieve something, because the fact is we already achieved it back in 1843.
And let me ask Peter Apo with OHA, is there a difference between sovereignty and independence?
Yes.
How would you break?
Well, sovereignty does not necessarily include independence in this case. So when you look at those who champion federal recognition is getting, basically leads to the Indian model of a nation within a nation. Independence in this case means that the, that as Kalikoa pointed out, that the nation was never, the sovereignty of the nation was never extinguished. We don't recognize the jurisdiction of the United States. So they're two different things. But I think essentially, you know, in terms of fast forwarding from 1893, 117 years ago, something bad happened, and a whole population, you know, Hawaiians and others who were citizens, were disenfranchised illegally from their sovereignty and from their nationhood. And it's been 117, it's been 37 years since the OHA has been created, and that we've been trying to figure out a way to resolve this, to try to come up with a common vision of what we mean by sovereignty, as Likala pointed out earlier. And it's a very difficult navigation because, as she mentioned, within the Hawaiians, they all have a little different version of what we mean by sovereignty. But I will say this. Until there is a resolution to this abiding tension that has existed for 117 years between Hawaiians and the rest of Hawaii, Hawaii will never be whole.
Yeah.
It's got to be resolved.
Lilikala Kamaelihua. So I understand. There's a difference between independence and sovereignty in your mind, yes? So where do you think is the model of federal recognition? How does that look?
You know, what I look at, what our people need today, we need land, we need housing, we need to have a place where we can find shelter. If you look at the 520,000 or 25,000 Native Hawaiians, where 50% of us are somewhere else outside of Hawaii because we can't afford housing. We've got quite a number of our people who are homeless as well, or houseless, as they say it. We need land now, and we need to have houses now. We need to have a place where we can grow food and feed our people. We need to run our own school system, absolutely, because the DOE does not serve the Hawaiian nation, or Hawaiian children, or Hawaiian identity. So when I look at all those things, I say, okay, how can we achieve that as quickly as possible? Because I'm a grandmother now, and I don't want to wait longer. And I think we have some really dire problems right now that we need to resolve. So I look at federal recognition as a way to come to control some land, have a government that is not a state agency. I think OHA works very hard to find ways to support the Hawaiian people. Sometimes we disagree politically, but I think their hearts are true. The hearts are good. Our problem is it's a state agency, and everybody gets to vote for OHA. We need to have a government where Hawaiians vote for those government officials, and people are responsible to the communities that they come from, to the islands that they come from. And if the community says, we don't like what you do, they vote you out. That's old story, democracy. So when I look at federal recognition, which is not perfect, not for Native Americans, not for Alaska Natives, it's not perfect, I still see opportunity there that we might not have any other way. I don't think we're going to be independent tomorrow. And if we were, do we have young people who are going to run the nation, who are going to plant food, or take care of water, take care of medicine, take care of education? Do we have young people who can do that? Can we run our own nation? So federal recognition actually gives us a chance to practice all those things And then we can talk about independence. But right now, we're outnumbered by non-natives. Mm-hmm. So if we were independent tomorrow, that doesn't mean Hawaiians would get anything.
Right. Let me go to Kalaikoa. Is federal recognition enough for you in terms of...
Definitely not. I mean, I'm one of those very, very clear out there that federal recognition to me and assimilation is death to our people. And all you got to do is look at history. If you understand, if you put Hawaiians under federal Indian law, and there's some things about federal Indian law you got to understand, what they call the Marshall Trilogy. When you look at things with doctrine of discovery, being a dependent domestic nation, you be a trustee, a ward. These are words and language in which under U.S. federal law, how American Indians are treated, I should say treated, mistreated, dehumanized, living in situations that are appalling. And yet, I find it very troubling that trustees and other leaders in my community somehow believe that's a step forward. For me, that's a step towards death as a people. Our kupuna left out with this message, Ea o ka'aina. Wamau ke ea. Ea o ka'aina is not federal Indian policy. Ea o ka'aina, again, with the land, the control. If we know, if we cannot have a situation which we can decide for ourselves, what happens at Mauna Kea? Let me ask that question. How would engaging in federal recognition stop what's going on in Mauna Kea? And I would suggest it wouldn't stop Mauna Kea. It wouldn't stop Maui. It wouldn't stop in regards to returning the waters to our streams. These are situations which tell us directly, unless we bring life back to the land, we're really talking about the death of our people.
So I would argue the exact opposite. I would say that if we had federal recognition, we could control Mauna Kea. We could control Haleakala. We could control our lands. And that's that is really a difference of opinion, of course. But I would argue that those kinds of things could be controlled by a nation that is recognized by the federal government.
Let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. How would it change education? Federal policies of no child left behind. That's a federal policy.
Yes, it is.
American Indians are forced to follow these policies. When they look to education, who do American Indians look to education? They look to the Hawaiians. See, the situation, but the point I want you to understand
no,
is that...
No, absolutely, Clay. Well, I want us to run our own...
I'm going to ask both of you to...
All I say is that let's look at factual situations. Let's look at facts. No Child Left Behind, Race to the Top. These are federal programs that are imposed upon our Hawaiian education right now that we're forced. We're forced. That's a federal program.
And okay. It doesn't have to be in the federally recognized nation. They don't have to follow that.
Okay, which American
absolutely.
Indians don't follow that law?
You absolutely don't which, have to follow
that law. Which American
say,
Indians do not follow
that law? We don't want the money for that.
No,
we're
I'm asking a very straight question. Which American Indian tribes are not forced to follow those laws?
I don't think they're forced.
Let's get Peter.
To now that we're not federally recognized.
Okay, Peter. Up
this is one of the more complicated things to understand. Federal recognition in and of itself does not constitute sovereignty or nation.
Correct.
Federal recognition simply qualifies Hawaiians as it does Native American Indians and Native Alaskans, and by the way, we are not recognized as Native Americans,
thank God,
to draft a proposal for sovereignty and for nationhood that then has to be ratified, I assume, by the state of Hawaii and by the federal government. So what that proposal would be is what the upcoming convention, we think, is intended to raise. OHA has a bifurcated mission, and sometimes it doesn't quite match up. The first responsibility we have is since over the 117 years, beginning with the Hawaiian Homestead Act, there's been a compilation of over 250 federal entitlements for Hawaiians that amount to millions and millions and millions of dollars, right? In the absence of federal recognition, all of that is at risk because we are not Native Americans. So that's why you get the Rice Cayetano, the lawsuits coming down. So federal recognition helps protect those entitlements until such time that we can have some sort of a national proposal.
That's not true. I want to give Bumpy one shot.
I got to disagree with that because if it was, we wouldn't be getting lawsuits every year. Trust getting lawsuits. Now, federal recognition not going to help those lawsuits. There's no guarantee.
That's true.
Now, I just like to get back to what we're talking about. The national sovereignty, this is where independence takes its reign over federal recognition.
Yeah, I wanted you to get into that a little bit because you and I have had the conversation before about what you picture of how this works.
Well, national sovereignty Prior to 1778, we all had our national sovereignty. Each Kanaka had their identity as a Kanaka, and they had their rights to the lands and natural resources. Now, as soon as after the Kamehameha, when he united all the Hawaiians, he was uniting the sovereignty, the national sovereignty of all of them. Now, after the second, the third comes in, the Mahele totally wipes out communal land tenure or national sovereignty, and then what ends up? The native tenant rights, subject to native tenant rights, it watered down. Now, once it watered down, it of course left avenues open for, you know, non-Hawaiians to come in, businesses and all that, to wipe that out.
You know what, Bumpy, you're wrong about federal recognition.
Well, in
the absence of federal recognition, the Rice Cayetano decision comes down that says Hawaiians are racist, that you cannot separate out Hawaiians. We cannot organize ourselves in the absence of federal recognition because we do not enjoy the same congressional protection that is afforded every other indigenous people in the United States. So federal recognition, first of all, would allow us to have an election without being threatened by lawsuits that it's a racist.
No, I
so while you may disagree with federal recognition as the pathway that you choose to exercise independence and quality of life for Hawaiians, it is very important in protection of the entitlements. We are living on a house of cards. The only thing that says that protects us in terms of being able to act is the Hawaiian Homestead Act. It's a very, very thin thread because we're not Native American Indians and we're not Native Alaskans.
Can I just wait for a second? Because I want to make sure that I want to be real loyal to our audience here in that you guys are kind of getting into the points that they're over my head, and I think that they're going to be going over our audience here. So
I'm going to talk about the national sovereignty part I'm not an American. We're not Americans. If you are, then you're not independent. If you are national, then you're forced to live under the rule we are. You're forced to use their money. You're forced to use their ID cards. You're forced to use their passports for travel. That's a given. That's where we are under extreme duress. But we're not Americans. If you are national, you're not an American. Now, federal recognition will rob me of my national sovereignty. Right. In no way that's going to happen.
Okay, so let me...
Just real quick.
Okay.
Now, one of the staff members of OHA, I asked him that question, and he couldn't answer me that there would be no lawsuits. You mean to say that this is going to stop the lawsuits, and he couldn't answer me?
So, as I understand,
from you guys' office.
I didn't say it was going to stop the lawsuits.
No, but that's what I'm saying. So why are we throwing the dice?
There is a shield that federal recognition provides us that would have prevented the Rice Cayetano decision. The Rice Cayetano decision that said we cannot have an election was based on the fact that we have no federal recognition. Period. There is no discussion.
But no more guarantee that the lawsuit.
So what I'm hearing, to reinterpret a little bit of this, is that while the federal recognition, you folks feel would protect many of these entitlements and give you the ability to stand up.
Right. But recognition allows indigenous peoples of the United States, if you frank, to be exempted from the 14th Amendment, the Equal Protection Law.
Okay, right. But on the other hand, what I hear you saying, Bumpy Kanahele, is that if you do that, you're basically selling out the concept of nationhood.
No. I asked the attorneys from OHA in our meeting, and they couldn't answer the question. They couldn't give us that, we won't get sued. They couldn't give the answer.
So you say it doesn't offer the protection that they
say? Sure, there's going to be lawsuits no matter what we do because people are racist against Hawaiians, and they want our land, basically. But we have to figure out how we get people on the land, and how do we do that quickly, because we don't have time to waste. Federal recognition does not solve all problems. However, if we go independent tomorrow, without rights laid down and without lands laid down that are ours, we get nothing, because there are lots of people out there who live in Hawaii who don't want Hawaiians to have any rights at all.
Okay, Kalikoke, a last moment on this.
Yeah, I just wanted to be very clear. See, the conversations you can see. Federal recognition is not sovereignty.
Right.
We got to understand that. Those are not. Right. So when people try to mix those two, when they talk Kalana Napua and they try to with federal recognition, they're right. confused.
So everybody agrees
when
about
they,
that?
Yes. That's true. When you talk about we were, there was an overthrow, but we want federal recognition, to me, they're confused.
Well, self-determination is a better term.
So I just want to be clear about that. See, as I said, there is no treaty. So first of all, let's be clear. Okay? Does everyone agree there's no treaty?
There is no treaty.
There is a deep question in regards to a national identity, as Uncle Bumpy has said. Mm-hmm. That's clear. So this is not about Hawaiians trying to pretend to become something. This is about Hawaiians trying to say, we are something already.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, if people want to choose to give that up, that's by choice. But I would suggest this. Other Hawaiians do not have that right to take that away from us, who have not forgotten, who refuse to give up, who will continue to fight for the Ea o ka aina. You know, I understand if we keep under a system run by people like Ige, Governor Ige, or Abercrombie wanted to give away Mauna Kea, and I would suggest that all you got to look at, it's not just about the 14th Amendment. It's about plenary power that Congress will have. It's about making Hawaiians into a domestic, dependent nation under the U.S. Constitution. It's about waiving your rights to the lands. That's
clear. To me, it's about controlling land like the Navajo Nation does. And at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, they can say to everybody who's not Navajo, off you go, this is our land and we control it. And people may say that that's not enough, and people may say derogatory things about Native Americans.
The Navajo were never an independent nation.
Independence is not set up by all the nations of the world.
Independence is clear
for
what
us,
it is.
Ea doesn't start in 1843. It starts when our ancestors first lived on this land. Ea is ancient. It doesn't start in 1843.
Correct.
Yes. And that is our word for sovereignty. But what if we talk about self-determination? Let's say, what part of sovereignty is self-determination? How do we decide how we're going to raise our children, how we educate them, what kind of lands we live on?
Self-determination and sovereignty are not the same thing. Are you clear about it, correct?
Yes,
am I am. Correct.
I don't believe sovereignty is going to help Hawaiians tomorrow because we are outnumbered. And you know as well as I do, there are lots of people who live in this.
And American Indians are outnumbered, being only 1% of the United States.
They have
of
land
outnumbered.
That they can live upon, and that's what I want, land that we can live upon, so that all of my cousins can move home from the continent and have a place to live in Hawaii.
Okay, let's all take a moment to take a sip of water.
That's what the Constitutional Convention is going to be about. It's going to... This argument is going to be carried over, and hopefully,
this is instructive. But what I'd like to do is, I'd like to, you know, our viewers have been writing and calling, and I want to get to some of their questions if you guys don't mind. This is very spirited, and I appreciate it. But let's all take a little moment and let's try some of these questions, which may make it worse. Okay, so. Only a small minority signed up for the role, the Native Hawaiian role. So why should they be allowed to speak for all Native Hawaiians when most Native Hawaiians have shown they don't want to create a race-based government? And why should they be allowed to break apart the state of Hawaii without permission from the rest of Hawaii's people? As a supporter of the Hawaiian role, Peter Apo, how do you respond to that question?
I disagree. There's about 120,000 names. Not all of it came from the actual role commission. Some of it was transferred from two previous registration, but basically the same process took place. People registered with the intention of going to the polls to vote for a delegate for constitutional convention. So you got about 120,000 names, and it's still counting.
Let's tell the truth. Kanaiolo Valo signed up a little more than 30,000, over 100, I think $150, $160 per a signature was paid out of OHA's money to gather the signatures, you know, creating a so-called T-shirt nation, as I say. See, nation building is going on in Mauna Kea. Nation building isn't coming from signing name and putting on a T-shirt. And that's one of the things I'm really frustrated with the Office of Hawaiian Affairs. Look at the DUI hearings that came out last year. If you can look at our people and deny the fervor of our people wanting to speak out, wanting to gather, that's nation building. Nation building comes from the people. And I'm very saddened when I hear that voice is... not listened to and not being addressed. And I think that UI hearings speak to that.
Okay, let me re-ask this question because I think that we may be missing the point a little bit. I think that what this questioner wants to know is whether the state, are we looking at breaking the state apart, was the sort of central of this, because of the will of a small number of people. Lilikala, come on, Hiva, can you
Corinne?
Sure. I think that we are afforded under American law, as indigenous peoples, a certain land base. Now, the United Nations says that we should have rights to all of the land base that our ancestors controlled. So we'd certainly like to have that right. What we have under America is we have a certain law that allows under federal recognition certain land set aside. I absolutely believe we have to do federal recognition before we go to an independent nation, because we are outnumbered. Now, when we have 80% of the population being Hawaiian, perhaps we won't have that problem. But right now, we have to have land. That's what we have. We must have land. I really admire what Bumpy's done, the land that he has. What happens if the lease runs out? What happens if a government decides they're going to break that lease? I want to address that.
Okay.
I want to solve that problem.
Okay.
I want to make sure we have lands on every island that Hawaiians can live on. Is that breaking the state apart? No. The person who feels like that has a homeland somewhere else, and they can go there. Thank you very much. But where do we go? This is our place for 100 generations. We must have land here.
All people got to make one stand. That's what it is.
That's correct.
You got to make one stand, whether it's Mauna Kea or our village. You got to take...
That's right.
You gotta let it all go. And federal recognition is not good. I don't care which way you look at it. The Roe Commission, I supported the Roe Commission because you get good people in there that was going in the direction I thought it was going in. Now, I question in it. Again, the Roe Commission is the third process that Native Hawaiians had to choose whether they wanted to or restore whether they wanted to be independent or be integrated with the system. The first one was 1945. The first one shows the national sovereignty, how it resides in a culture of the people's concern. Now, that's a big problem for me, especially knowing that that was covered up. Our national sovereignty was covered up in 1945. The process never worked. And what happened was statehood came out of there. Everything after that is not good for us as Hawaiians. Yeah, we're forced to live on there. Yeah, we got to do this, both sides. And we're going to argue like this until everybody get it that it's the national sovereignty
that we got to
restore. I
don't really
understand
the thing to do about the Roe Commission. It's a voter registration process.
Voter registration.
Because in order to have an election, you have to, and in order to vote in this election, you have to prove somehow that you are a Hawaiian. Now, however you do that, whether it's through the Roe Commission or through the Kauinoa, which is a previous registration process, that's all it is. Okay? It does not say we're going after federal. It's to create an electorate. So for the first time in Hawaiian history, you will have a puvalu or an aha where the Hawaiians can come out and speak in through a democratic process to choose what form of nationhood, or if they want nationhood at all. The Democrat, that's all Kanaiolovo is about.
I just finish what I was trying to say, because now that we're hitting this point where the role is coming up, they made their mind up to do it next year. You know, when I got involved, I thought this thing was going to happen, like, right away. And then the more it delayed, it reminded me of 1945. 1993 was the second one. That got flopped, too. 2011, and look, we're at 2015. Now, I would urge all Hawaiian nationals, all those that believe in independence, let's start the government already. We need it. We need a government to sit down and talk to the state government and the federal government at this point. I call upon the people on this table. What if we just call for the restoration of our national sovereignty? Not a government, just the national sovereignty that belongs in each of us. The non-Hawaiians can vote to recognize the national sovereignty of the Kanaka Maori. Now we decide, because our decision could be tomorrow, like Lily said, what if we do tomorrow? You know, our economy, we don't need to worry about that. Lands, we get plenty of lands. But we're still guiding ourselves are being led that, hey, this Roe Commission thing, this stuff that happening now is going to be good. But it's really putting us back into an old problem that we had from the beginning.
May I just say that we have land that are our lands. Mauna Kea is one of them. And you know our young people are going to be arrested up there. And they have been arrested. They're going to be arrested again and again. How do we get the American government to agree that that land should be controlled by us? Federal recognition is one path. It may not be the best path.
It's not even there.
What I'm saying, that is one path. That Native Americans have lands they control. Alaska Natives have lands that they control. And that's what I want, land that we can control.
We control.
And with that, we're at the half hour, and that was Lily Kalah. The thing I want to point out with Peter Apol, he keeps on saying we don't have protection without federal recognition, but he misses the point. If we were our own nation, we wouldn't have to worry about our programs, because just like Kamehameha schools, that's being attacked under this system. It wasn't attacked under the kingdom system because it was lawful for our princess, Pauahi, to set up a school for Hawaiian children. There was no U.S. Constitution, race base, or anything involved. That only came into effect when the United States overtook our government against our will, per the Kuwait petition, a fact. So he misses, Peter Apol misses the point that under federal recognition, you do not get that protection. And you don't need that protection if you're a sovereign Hawaiian nation. You don't need it. And our trust would be protected. Lily Kalah misses the point also that you don't have the final say. So her example of Mauna Kea, under the federal program, Niaupuni, that they're trying to push, the feds could come and say, no, under the agreement, we have final say, and we tell you Hawaiians, get off Mauna Kea. And they wouldn't have a legal leg to stand on because they signed off the federal recognition program, which says we can govern ourselves. They use that word self-determination, but the feds have the final say. So the story that she's trying to tell you wouldn't happen because the feds would be able to come in under the program. It says they have final say. Get off the mountain, Hawaiians, and you wouldn't have nothing to say because you signed off on it. So that's important. And it's important you have to, there's a lot of propaganda BS being thrown out there, and you have to know what's going on, especially by some people who you think are respected, but they're giving you some BS just trying to support this system that just wants to keep control of our assets. So you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KQ Kilauea, and we'll continue on with the insights on PBS Hawaii, what would it take to achieve Hawaiian sovereignty, with Peter Apol, Keo from the Maui, Lili Kala, and Bumpy Kanahele. But right now, let's just check on the ocean safety. What's happening out there?
Aloha, I'm Pat Durkin with your KKCR Beach and Ocean Safety tip for today. The safest places to swim are at beaches with lifeguards. On Kauai, we have 7 lifeguard stations. On the North Shore, they are located at Haena Beach Park and the Hanalei Pavilion. On the East Side, lifeguards are at Kealia Beach Park and Lydgate Park. South to West Side locations are Poipu Beach Park, Salt Pond Park, and Kekaha Beach Park. These stations are staffed 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Always check in with lifeguards no matter where you plan to swim. Conditions can change rapidly. For more information about today's ocean conditions on Kauai, visit kauaiexplorer.com. With today's beach and ocean safety tip, I'm Pat Durkin for KKCR Radio. Have fun and be safe.
Looking over the charts here, high surf advisory for the south-facing shores. You got mixed swells, potential for powerful currents around Kauai today. So you have high surf advisory on the south side. So again, it's starting to shift. We still got to watch out on the North Shore, but during the summer, the south side is sort of one that's kind of pumping. So that's where it's happening, from Lihue all around to around to Kekaha. You have a high surf advisory, but all the way around the island, Haena is 4 to 8, Hanalei 3 to 6, Kealia 2 to 5, 2 to 4 at Lydgate, Poipu 4 to 8, 3 to 6 at Salt Pond, Kekaha 2 to 5. So be careful out there. And when I went to the surf report, the thing kind of bopped me to the very beginning, but that's okay. So we're going to kind of estimate where it was. about a half hour left, and continue on with the debate on PBS Hawaii. What would it take to achieve Hawaiian sovereignty with Lili Kala from UH, Peter Po, trustee, Bumpy Kanahele, and Kaio from Maui, a teacher from Maui. Professor, forgot your old name.
This question, again, to go back to the viewer question, is a little bit about how it looks to non-Hawaiians. And we're talking about two different models here. We're talking about the federal recognition model. We're also talking about a sovereign nation model. So, Peter,
actually, we're talking about, in answer to the question,
what is that again?
Hawaiians deserve the same constitutional shield of protection that every other indigenous people in the United States, to be able to organize ourselves and to propose a model. And that model could be.
And that's where I just have to interrupt. We're not indigenous to America, Peter Apo, trustee of OHA. We're not indigenous to America. Kamehameha was not American. Kamuali'i was not American. Come on, people.
It could be independence.
I mean, I guess, so go ahead. I mean, in terms of in a sovereign nation, is everyone else able to be citizens?
That is for education. If you actually go and read international law and understand about citizenship and nationality, rights of citizenship are afforded to those who are citizens of a particular nation state.
Right.
That's documented. You know, again, your parents were citizens, you're born in the territory. I mean, there's a whole... That gets a very complicated question. That's not something you have an opinion at. These are things that are actually written in law. And I think that's part of the conversation we've got to be very clear about. There's people that are throwing things that are opinions, and there are things out there that are actually written and coded in law. And I would suggest that everybody out there should go out and read and understand how a nationality, again, not ethnicity, that's not the same thing. You know, ethnicity and nationality are one and the same thing.
Well, that's a very important point. And that's what I wanted to explore a little bit. Is that when we talk about who votes on a federal recognition model, then you can exclude non-Hawaiians in those voting.
That's an ethnic model.
Yes.
That's a Lahui model.
That's not a national model.
Right, but if you actually had a Hawaiian sovereign government that ran Hawaii, you couldn't
independent
exclude.
Hawaii. An independent Hawaii. Then we can look at the Kalahui model where non-Hawaiians would be considered honorary citizens.
The independent model would include military, would include government, would include money. That's an independent country. If you cannot defend your country, we cannot defend our 200-mile exclusive economic zone. If we cannot provide for these people that live in Hawaii, how much we get now, 1.3 million or something like that, what about our economy as an independent country? Trade and commerce, making a lot of money doing trade and commerce. Right now, the Jones Act preventing that. So there's a lot of ways to make money. We have a lot of money ourselves,
Do people who are not Hawaiian, should they be afraid of this process?
No,
they should not. My mother is a non-Hawaiian. As I always tell people, I would never do unto my mother anyone else that would not do to my mother first. So let's be clear about that. If you understand our people, our people are the most diverse, whether it's religion, in color, hair type, lots of hair, no hair, whatever. And to somehow suggest that we would be biased to people because ethnicity, I think, is very based upon a model of people who come from that kind of thinking. So we don't. I don't think there's any place in the world where you find that people as diverse as our people, the Hawaiian people. There's no place in the world. And so
it's true.
To somehow believe that we would become like those people is really to not understand who we are as a people. I would say this. In my family, I have people who are of all ethnicities. And for people to not understand that if you haven't been in Hawaii that this long and haven't experienced the people, that's where you end up asking those kinds of questions.
And I think that's
you
got to
blame colonization for that.
I think it's one of the most misunderstood, for some reason, thing about we are the people of Aloha. We have always been the people of Aloha. It's in our DNA. So while people see us arguing like this, and while they may be offended by some of the media coverage and how mainstream media manages Hawaiian issues, basically, whatever the model ends up, I am confident it's going to be inclusive.
You know, this is a great question. Philip from Hilo says, there are not enough Hawaiians to vote for sovereignty to pass it. We need to educate non-Hawaiians better on the issue.
It's not a Hawaiian. I mean, it's not a non-Hawaiian thing right now. Nationality is all about Hawaiian. At this point,
The only way to make this, in other words, if say Hawaiians wanted to be American, federal recognition, they wanted to be American for whatever reason, you still cannot harm the independence movement and what we choose. If we choose to form the government tomorrow, guess what? We might beat the rule in the amount of people we can pull together to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Just make sure Hawaiians are going to have land in schools. I want to run our own schools.
All I'm saying is what the trying to answer the questions too at the same time.
You know, I think for all the non-Hawaiians who are afraid, what they really ought to do right now is petition the state of Hawaii to allow us to run our own school system, have our own board of education that's run by Hawaiians, our own school system that's run by Hawaiians, and that we can run and teach our children. Right now, we're homeschooling my granddaughter because we don't want her to go to an American school. We want a Hawaiian school. So how do the non-natives support us now? Don't tell us about later on when we get some land. Tell us now how you're supporting us. You should be supporting us to have land right now. They ought to be supporting calling up Governor Ige. Hey, let those Hawaiians be on the mountain. Let the Hawaiians control the mountain and move the TNT to Mount Fuji. You know, that's what they should be doing.
Let me just add to this point. See, I would suggest, see, Hawaiians at this point in history, let's be honest, we're not going to ask them to tell us. Right. Let us be on the mountain. See, we are now telling them, we know. See, the young people, we know. There's no treaty. We never gave consent. Never. There's no title. The state of Hawaii does not have title to the mountain. I can prove that without a doubt as an educated person. And in fact, I would challenge Governor Ige to prove otherwise. And so to suggest that somehow, that we all shouldn't be part. See, nation building is going on. And I look at Office of Hawaiian Affairs and other state agencies who support, I mean, don't forget, this Kanaialopala came from the governor's desk. The governor's office has never had the interests of our peoples in mind. The governor's office supports those who oppress our people and support those who benefit. There are many of the people out there, industries that benefit of our oppression, that benefit our lands and resources to this day. And the reason we have to fight is because we can no longer look to the governor and the state agencies to protect our interests.
I understand.
And at this time, our people have risen and will rise stronger and do whatever it takes to take places back like Mauna Kea.
The question that we also have from a viewer is about, one person made reference to the Civil War, in terms of a state trying to withdraw from the nation. And it brings up the question is, you know, many people would make the argument that, oh, there have been a lot of things that have happened since the overthrow that made this a legal country, a legal state. How much resistance do you expect, though, from the United States for this kind of an issue of an independent Hawaiian nation? Eventually, do you get a snapback where it just...
You know what it is? Respect and disrespect. They don't respect us anymore. We're invisible, bro. And so that's the disrespect.
No, it's true, because it's not 1893, people. They've taken our lands right now. I just lost lands now because of this taxes. So they disrespect us. They charge us exorbitant amounts of taxes. They take our lands and then they smile at us and say hello, aloha.
So from day one, when they took over, and all history gonna show all that, and disrespect. That's how we get away from racial discrimination and all the talk when we talk about respect and disrespect. This one Kupuna will share this with me. He said, Bumpy, that's what no more in everything. And I was like looking at him and that's on everything. So for just what we, the whole subject of nation building, nationhood, we, each Kanaka, should have the protection of diplomatic immunity to me. So that, kind of like Mother Teresa's thing, food, clothes, shelter. You know, so that all people don't worry about having to lose retirement, or if they're military, having to lose their kind of money, or, you know, having to lose their land, or even non-Hawaiians. The respect and disrespect come back with aloha on all people. You watch things change for the better. We all might be this way and arguing and all that right now, but I think when those things come out, it's got to be viewed that way. Otherwise, you know, we're never going to have them. Right now, we're invisible.
Peter, I'll put to the question from the viewer, is one of the reasons that you support federal recognition is that you really don't think the United States would ever give up a legal, you know, could that the United States would win ultimately in a tribunal kind of situation?
I go back to what I think is the most important in terms of the relationship between the Hawaiians and the federal government. It's insulting to me that we are not Native Americans. I mean, to a rational people, right? Navajo Indians, Native American Indians, they're Native Americans. Alaskans are Native Alaskans. They have protections. Hawaiians do not. We are naked standing in the sun having these kind of dialogues because the federal government refuses. The Akaka bill was intended to...
No, Peter Poe, it's because they took our nation. When we had our own nation, we took over ourselves. Get it right.
To put us even so we can begin to have a dialogue that at least carries some weight. Now, people may disagree with you know, if you want to be independent from Hawaii and you want to say that the United States is that we're being illegally occupied, then of course you're not going to support federal recognition. You want to walk off into
I actually have another take on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me just say, I believe one day we will be independent. And I believe that because I have grandchildren. I believe that Hawaii will be independent. I just want to make sure that when we are independent from America, that we will have rights as Native Hawaiians in that independent nation. So I look at federal recognition, and I'm calling it an aupuni malama, as a pathway towards that independence. We think America is so strong, and it is. America also has a streak of justice. Sometimes you have to dig for it, but you can make the argument. You know, one time it was said that the sun never set on the British Empire, and now it does. We never thought the Berlin Wall was going to fall, and one day it cracked, and it was gone. We never thought the Soviet Union was going to break up into small countries, and then it did. What history teaches us, if the people have a will, then the people can make political changes. We need to survive until the next generation so that we can make our political will. That's what we need as Hawaiians. And we're having a very difficult time surviving without land.
I agree with you on that one, Lily.
We must have land.
Let me go again at the heart of the matter. See, there's a lot of opinions coming out here. But let's look at facts and historical facts as historians. Let me ask this question. When did Hawaiians become Americans, number one? I mean, what?
Kalekoa Ka'eo from Maui. I like this guy.
What year and what instrument? Tell me when and what instrument did the title of our national lands be transferred to the United States? What year and by what instrument? And when did the Hawaiians, the national Hawaiians, not the ethnic Hawaiians, give up our citizenship and our nationality to these lands? Can you tell me when it occurred and by what instruments?
When the American military was landed and took over our country.
Okay.
We're occupied by the American military.
You're not answering my question.
That is exactly what happened.
What year
there
and
is
by,
no legal.
Let me, okay,
there
that's
is no
it.
Legal.
Okay,
absolutely.
Let me get you. What year and by what legal instrument?
There is none. There is no legal instrument.
Why is that so important?
Because that's the core issue. The core issue is that our nationality has never been given up. We, as a people, have never gave consent to our nationality, never gave consent to our national lands. And this is by virtue of the fact the United States to this day cannot show evidence.
And they admitted it in the apology law.
Not in apology law.
They admitted it. They did the wrong.
That's what I'm saying. If there is no evidence, why are we talking about federal recognition if we're not Americans in the first place?
Because I think
not an opinion, I want the facts.
Because I think there's been 117 years and Hawaiians like my parents decided that they were Americans.
So what year was that?
And so I was raised as an American.
What year and
you have thousands of people like that
asking,
who come from a generation
you
who are proud to be Americans.
I'm asking you what
period.
Year.
Let's let Bobby.
So I think that What we're running into is 117 years of mind-altering whatever. And
yeah, for those Hawaiians who are proud to be Americans, you don't have to get involved in this at all. You just be American. You don't have to get in the sovereignty movement at all because you're American. But because you guys want to be Americans doesn't mean that wipes off every Hawaiian that wants our independent country.
You know, what I wanted to say, actually, to what you were talking about, that, you know, whoever thought Cuba was going to have normal relations with America again, whoever thought
Palestine will be recognized by the Pope, you know. Mm-hmm. Hawaii, you know why we stand alone? We stand naked and we have no more protection because we have the choice to become restored, a restored independent country. That's why we stand naked. You know, and can I help? And can I help? You're right, Peter, because my father-in-law told me the same thing. He said, boy, you know what? We never know none of this stuff. I was giving him the UN stuff, and he was telling me, I never know this. He's a military man. My brother was a military man. So we get in there. You know, I believe we all get in there. But that's the way we stand on things, you know.
Let me ask, what is the process, though, on that specific issue? Let's set aside federal recognition for now. So what's the process that gets the United States government to recognize what you folks are saying?
We proclaim our restoration of our national sovereignty. It's not a government. It's what Kaleko are talking about, that we have, we was born with them. Once that recognized, that's a different ballgame. Now, federal recognition, all that kind of stuff, no make difference now if we talk about it. But at least we recognize that we are Kanaka Maoli and this is our national lands, and we want to control that again. We want to put our people back on the land. We want to better our health, housing, education, and all that.
I agree.
And then after that all, Paul, then we got to figure out how to help this economy. To me, the state government and the federal government stuck. Their policies, their legislative work and all that, not going to be able to make Hawaii a better economic state. Is not gonna. We're a new kid on the block. An independent country would blow holes to the economic woes that we face right now.
There would be no way that we're controlling an independent country as Hawaii.
And we can control ourselves. We don't have to control the state little by little to transition. Why are we not go for the whole thing instead of we go for little at a time?
And there are plenty of Hawaiians who want to be a
Yeah, because they don't know some of the stuff we're not telling them.
Most of them are miseducated with history. That's why I go back to understanding truth and history is the key to everything.
99% of our children are being miseducated.
Not opinions, but truth and history.
Okay.
See, to throw my two cents, I know I told you guys this before. I was born in California. Now I know why, because my family was forced out of Waipake by the courts back in the turn of the century. So they ended up in San Francisco, where I was born. And I was raised American. But when I came down here, my Hawaiian side said, what? No. All this crap they told me in America was BS. And that's an American coming down here. I just happen to have Hawaiian blood. I'm going, whoa, wait, what happened? What? No, that's not the America I know. They wouldn't do that. But they did. You got to know your history. You got to know your facts.
Peter?
I agree that education is important. But I'll tell you what I think is the most important thing. Nothing is going to happen with nationhood, whatever you want to call it, without the support of the people of Hawaii.
Correct.
It ain't going to happen.
All the people.
All the people of Hawaii. So we got to, you know, whatever the model is, it has to be inclusive, it has to include them, and there has to be a democratic process by which that model, whether it's independence or federal recognition, is put forward.
And it's funny because Pierre Poe, the people of Hawaii already did that by giving OHA and said, Hawaiians, you do everything yourself. The people of Hawaii, everybody, voted for OHA that said Hawaiians only run and Hawaiians only vote. The people of Hawaii, that was our aloha back. Yeah, it wasn't perfect, but it was our aloha back where everyone in Hawaii knows Hawaiians are Hawaiians. And nobody else is Hawaiian unless you're Hawaiian. Okay, everybody else, you came here. That aloha was given back through that. I know it's not perfect, but they did. The people of Hawaii, everybody voted, and they voted as it was. Only Hawaiians vote for OHA, and only Hawaiians run for it. That was our gig. Then what happened? This government jumped in, someone complained, and we have to follow their rules. Now, Hawaiians, you can't have that. You have to have everybody vote. And then what? Now we see the manipulation of who gets in OHA, because now Hawaiians don't control OHA. And that's how it manipulated the system, where it breaks down. Whereas we have an independent state. Hey, we vote for who we want to vote for. And not under their system.
I think it's been amazing that over all these years that the general public has generally been supported, especially coming out of the 70s, the activism of the 80s, the return of Kaho'olawe, the creation of the Hawaiian Affair, Office of Hawaiian Affairs, all supported basically by the people of Hawaii, okay, through a constitutional amendment.
True.
I fear that that support is diminishing because we're not being very articulate about exactly, you know, what we're talking about. And I think people are beginning to feel threatened. Education is the key. I agree with
and being truthful and being truthful.
But weren't we threatened when they took our nation? It just doesn't make sense sometimes. That was I cut off the end of it, but basically that was the, as you can tell, the debate on Hawaiian sovereignty, even within the Hawaiian community. It is a hot issue. But it does show with the evidence of the meetings and testimony has been not only in person, but has been handed in. The majority of the Hawaiians are for sovereignty. Yes, you have some that are not. And like Peter Apo and Lily Kalas said, that there are many who are proud to Americans, to be Americans. That's good for you guys. We're not saying you cannot be American. But those Hawaiians who choose that to be American do not talk for the people who believe in our nation, our kupunas, and our families who spoke up for our nation. And we feel we still have that obligation. You cannot change that. You want to be American? Play Americans and be American. That's fine. That's your choice. But we have the choice to be Hawaiian nationals, Kanaka Mau'ole, and a citizen of the nation of Hawaii. And you can take that to the bank. So I appreciate the phone calls. Yes, this is a heavy issue. This is happening right now. This DOI thing, that's the controlling factor. All this other stuff really is manini. Really is. You know, that is going to be federal law if they pass it. And right now, as it looks, they're going to ram it down our throats. And you're going to have these coconuts under the Niaupuni signing off saying that, oh, we represent everybody. They're the puppets. Like Bumpy said, hey, it's your choice. I'm standing up. I'm going to stand up for my people. I'm going to stand up for my nation. And with that, that is Nalea Hawaiian Issues for today. So happy Mother's Day to everybody out there, especially all the mothers and cousin. Take care of your brother guys out there. Aloha no. In Florida. Let's see. I put away all my CDs. And let's see. Let me see if I can pull something up. We got 5 minutes. Oh, I know I'm going to pull up one of my favorites. Let's see what comes up. Forgot to get the last song on there. Okay, now I forgot what... Hey, I'm doing a mahi. That's right. Let's see. Five-second delay. Yeah, I'll play this live one from Brother Walter. There you go. Mahalo. Support your local Hawaiians. And Hawaiians. Onipa'a.